I ask her to introduce him, so she looks up a mic and hands it to me like, here it is, do it yourself. Hallelujah. So I'll just do it. Brother Jack Ernest, come give us a word from God.
All right. Good evening. I really had a good time this morning. Wow. I was weak.
Check, 1, 2. That one's not doing right anyway.
Still think it's for girls. Better watch it, Tim. All right, we'll go now. Anyway, praise the Lord. I guess you got to learn how to adapt, huh? Adapt and overcome. Praise God. Well, welcome back. And for those of you that weren't able to make it this morning that are here this evening, the Lord really visited with us this morning, not because I preached, but because God chose to show up and bless us with His presence. Tonight, I want to talk about issues. My text will be from the book of Mark, chapter 5. The book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. And again, the title of the message is Issues. All right, here in Mark, chapter 5, verse 24, we read, a large crowd followed and pressed around him, that being Jesus, and a woman was there who had been subject or had an issue of bleeding for 12 years. Now let's just pause for a moment and consider having an issue of blood or bleeding for 12 years. That's a long time. An issue of blood or bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and that's still going on today, by the way. People suffering under the care of many doctors, and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak or the hem of his garment, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes or the cloak of his garment, I will be healed. Now remember, I talked this morning about no maybes. She said, I will be healed. So she had a concept about this man called Jesus. She had heard things about this man Jesus. So she had formed in her mind thoughts, developing a God concept about this man named Jesus. If I just touch his clothes, I will, not maybe. She did not say there's a possibility I will be healed. She didn't say maybe I will be healed. She said, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. So this account, we know that there was a large crowd. I don't know how many people were present. And so many people that people were pushing and bumping against one another, shoving and pushing. And here's this woman who has an issue of blood. She's been bleeding, been sick for 12 years. And I can imagine that she must have been very weak physically, ready to give up on life. But she heard this guy was in town, and she heard about what he had done and what he was about. And she's trying to get through this crowd to get to Jesus. At once, Jesus realized that power or virtue had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said back to him, "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, who touched me?" I can imagine the disciples thinking that, "Jesus, I think you're stressed out. We know you're tired, because you should know that all these people around you, people are bumping into you and touching you and pushing, and the crowd's moving along. But yet, something happened. We can be in crowds. We can be bumped by other people around us. But Jesus was touched by a lot of people that day. Bumped into, elbowed, and maybe even almost shoved down. Not because they wanted to, just because there was a large crowd. People were moving and trying to get where they were going. So, of course, people bumped into Jesus. But this was different. This woman was different. She had an issue. Now, all of us have issues. They may not be bleeding. They may not be this or that. But all of us have issues in life. We definitely have issues, whether we want to admit it or not. So Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said back to him, "How can you ask that? We're all being touched and bumped and pushed and shoved." But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. And I could imagine Jesus' disciples watching this unfold. And they were so quick to say to Jesus, "Are you crazy? Why are you even saying that? Look at all the people. We're all getting touched and bumped and shoved." And I can imagine the disciples, when they saw this woman come to Jesus and kneel down in that crowd, in the dirt, and say to him, and told him the whole truth. He, Jesus, said to her, and this is our Jesus, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is here with us even now. And Lord, as your servant, I thank you for the privilege and the honor once again to bring forth your word. And I pray, Lord, that this word tonight would not just touch our minds, but it would go out and touch our hearts and bring hope and change to each one of us as we listen and hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Issues of life. Like I said previously, we all have some type of issues in our life, and I'm certain more than once. I'm willing to bet that all of us in here have some kind of issue or issues that we are trying to deal with, trying to work out, or trying to get fixed. This poor woman certainly had an issue. She had been bleeding for 12 years. Can you imagine that? Bleeding for 12 years. She had been to many doctors, but to no avail. As a matter of fact, she even grew worse. I've been to doctors and grew worse. They mean well. They meant to help me, but they misdiagnosed me or something and then prescribed medicine for me, and I actually grew worse and ended up having to go to another doctor, paying more money, hoping that someone would be able to find out the problem. Spent all that she had, nothing left but desperation. And I say hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for times of desperation. Nothing left, spent all that she had. Nothing left but desperation. I believe that there are and will be times in our lives when desperation can be a positive thing. You see, when we become desperate, it will cause us to react to our situation in one way or another, good or bad, positive or negative. There may be times when we will have to endure. No quick fix this time. You're going to have to endure. Sometimes we're fortunate, God will heal us. God will respond and heal us. But then there's sometimes when we have to endure some bleeding, some issues. There will be times of tempering. Just like an old blacksmith, and you see him beating and pounding and reheating and cooling down and tempering the steel so that it will produce longevity in use. Even the Apostle Paul himself had to endure a thorn in his flesh. And he prayed and asked God to remove that from him. But God said, "No. You're going to keep this. You're going to live with this. You're going to endure a thorn in the flesh." When this woman heard about Jesus, and I ask this question, are people hearing about Jesus from us? Are people hearing about Jesus from us? Are we sharing about our love for Him to others Are we telling others how sweet and wonderful He is? Are we telling others what He has done for us? Will others want to touch Him because of what we have testified about? Can we cause other people to want to press through and touch Jesus because of what we say, how we walk, how we talk, what we share? Through my life as a Christian, I've been saved about 33 to 34 years. And God has done miraculous things in my life. And it's not always because I asked. He just simply did it, Tim. He just simply intervened on my behalf and blessed me, showered His love on me, and healed me when I didn't even pray and ask for healing. Because I was content with His love for me. I was content. Even though I had an issue, I was content to live with it because I still had His love and His presence in my spirit and in my heart. And I thought to myself, if I have to live with this, that's okay. I can do that. It'll be all right because I still have His love and His compassion and His presence in my heart. When she heard about Jesus, Are they hearing about Him from us? This woman heard about Jesus. She was desperate and determined. Are we desperate and determined enough to press through the crowd? Are we determined and desperate enough to seek the one who can stop the flow? Jesus can stop your flow. He can do it. This woman heard about Jesus and she was desperate and determined. Nothing was going to stop her from getting to Him. What stops us? Is it because we're so busy? Is it because we don't take the time to kneel and pray, commune with Him? Maybe we're not desperate enough in our relationship with Him. We must remember there was a great crowd of people surrounding Jesus, crowding in, pushing, shoving, animals being drugged through the streets, and soldiers and carts and straw and everything. But yet here comes this woman, probably very weak from her bleeding, because she thought, if I just touch His clothes, I will, not maybe, be healed. What do we think? How do we feel? Do we believe that if we get to Him, things will change? Are we desperate enough? Even in our situation, no matter how weak or destitute, we must press in until we get to Him. We must. Know this. His flow will stop your flow. Your issue must be cast upon Him. You see, Jesus had an issue of blood also. It was flowing out of His side on the cross. So Jesus in Himself, He had an issue of blood. And that issue of blood was for you and me. That issue of blood was for you and me and still is even now. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. In our lives, we must make a decision as to who He is. We need to make a decision. Who is He to you? What do you say? What do I say? In the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 through 29, we find Jesus and His disciples going to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, Jesus asked them as they were going, and He just struck up a conversation. He says, "Hey, I want to ask you guys a question. You guys are out and about, and you're in and out of the towns. I want to ask you a question. And Jesus asked them this question while they were on the road. Who do people say I am?" And, of course, they replied quickly. They replied, "Oh, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others say that you're one of the prophets." And in verse 29, we hear Jesus ask this. Okay. Now, Jack is paraphrasing this. Okay, Jesus is saying, okay, I appreciate your response. But I want to ask you guys a question. I want to ask you guys, you're my disciples. You've lived with me, you've walked with me, you've slept where I slept, you've eaten with me, you've dined with me, you've seen what we've done. But I need to know something from you. You're my disciples, you're my followers, I want to know this from you. Who do you say I am? Wow. Jesus wanted to know from His followers. He wanted to know from the men that were with Him, faithful to Him. And He said, "It's good that you've told me what the other people are saying." And He said, "But more importantly, but what about you? Who do you say I am?" And of course, Peter spoke up and he said, "You are the Christ." This we must settle in our lives. Who is He to us? If we get to Him, if we come to Him, can we say, as did the woman with the issue of blood, "If I but touch the hem of His garment, then my flow or my issue will stop. My issue will be no more and I will be healed." The Scripture says that when this woman touched His garments, virtue or power went out from Jesus. Jesus is all power, all powerful. We know that. He's an endless supply of energy and life. So you'll never exhaust His virtue, no matter how many times we go to Him and press through the crowd of life and take our issues to Him and touch Him. He'll never run dry. Jesus knew that someone who believed in Him, someone who was exercising faith, had touched Him. Someone who believed in Him, someone who was exercising their faith, touched Him. When we come to Him, pressing in, destitute and desperate, crawling, yes, crawling if necessary, and we touch Him, we will not maybe feel His power flowing into us. That's a fact. There's no chances, there's no maybes. If we go to Him, touch Him, press in. And I know in my own life, things get pretty busy. I know with Dr. Harbuck and Sister Jan traveling and, oh my gosh, and all the stuff they have to put up with and do. And Pastor Jerry and others, that life is 24/7 constant something. And then Dr. Harbuck, bless his heart, is writing a Bible, an in-depth Bible that takes him half of his day. He gets up early in the morning and takes the whole first part of his day and puts himself away and studies and reads. And Sister Jan was telling me he has books. Looks like he's got a little fort. And he's got so many books. And then he's calling all these other doctors and professors and theologians and conferring with them on a daily basis to try to get this Bible exactly correct. And he's dedicated his life to do that. So life can get so busy. People calling you. Dr. Harbuck told me he carries two cell phones, not one. Two. One's for the President of the United States to get a hold of him when he needs to, and the other one is for the rest of us folks. But we all have issues. You know, your issue may be financial difficulty. Your issue may be physical. Your issue may be emotional, maybe marital. Whatever it is, Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. His flow will stop your flow. But we have to get to Him. We have to push through the schedule of the day. We have to push through all of this and all of that. And everything that's, you know, Patsy and I literally live by an appointment book. If someone calls me and says, can you come and preach in our church on May 27th? I said, wait a minute, I got to get my book. I got to get my appointment book. Because I can't remember. And it's every day. There's something going on every day. Almost every day. So sometimes, oftentimes, not just sometimes, oftentimes, we're all the same. Maybe you may be running a business or something like that, and you just got so much. But if we don't take time to press through the issues of life to get to the deliverer of life, then we may find ourselves undelivered, unhealed, unsatisfied, unfulfilled. And this woman who had this issue of blood, she was desperate. Spent all the money she had. 12 years. Wow. That's like some people I think of that are diabetic, and I've heard so many stories about where people, they get a small cut on their foot or something, and a thing breaks out on their foot, and it never heals. It just keeps getting worse and worse and bigger and deeper, and it never heals. And sometimes they end up losing their foot, sometimes a leg. And for 12 years, this woman bled, and she must not, I'm sure she wasn't probably, she had a sanitary problem, not being able to keep clean or something or whatever. But she heard. The Bible says she heard about, had never met, never seen, but heard about a man who could stop her flow. He could fix her issue when no one else could. Jesus had an issue of blood, and it was for us. Are you ready to press through the crowd? Only you can answer that. Only you can answer that. And there's been times in my life when I was scared, not knowing what tomorrow will hold. When I had cancer, and doctors basically gave up on me. But I thank God that I had the privilege to know Him and to know that He was worth going to. I thank God that I knew that Jesus was worth pressing through my cancer and radiation treatments and all the denials of the doctors and press in. And I just flat out refused to die. No, I refuse this. This is not working for me. I'm not going to give in to it. Was it easy? No way. It was not easy. I'll never forget the time when I was hooked up to morphine, laying in a hospital bed. And it was about 3. I had to force Patsy to go home because she wanted to stay there all the time, which I appreciated, and that's love being expressed, but you got to rest. So I finally got her to go home. And it was more than one reason why I needed Patsy to leave the hospital room. It was so Dr. Harbuck, so I could cry. I didn't want to cry in front of my wife. I didn't want to have her concerned with, you know, here's her husband. We husbands, we men are supposed to be tough and have it together so that our wives don't have to see us when we're weak and worry them even more. And when Patsy left and I managed to get out of bed, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning and there was a lamp on in the corner of my room, a real dim burning lamp. And I couldn't talk because I was all cut open and everything was just all messed up inside. I couldn't even swallow. I couldn't drink water. I couldn't do nothing. And I had my Bible and I slid down out of bed and I was a mess. I was a mess. And I had that insulin thing they put, you know, in IV bottle. And it's got the morphine drip. And I managed to get across over to the chair. And I sat down in the chair. I was angry. I was very angry at God. And I needed to hear from God. And if I could have got the window open in that hospital, I would have thrown my Bible out the window. I really would have. That was the state in which I was. I had an issue, a big issue. And I tried to get God to respond to me. I did everything but curse God. And I couldn't yell, but in my inner man, I was yelling. And I was telling God, "You're a liar." Yes, I did that. And I said, "You're a liar. You said you'd never leave me, nor would you forsake me. Where are you now? I need you. Where are you?" Listen, you can't provoke God to answer you. God's not going to jump when you want Him to jump. He's not going to rustle the pages of your Bible just because you want some comfort. You can't do that. But God understood my frustration. God understood my issue. And after I got done with my ranting and raving, there was a presence. There was a sweet, holy presence in that room. He didn't rebuke me. It was as if He was saying, "I understand. And you're still alive because I am here." Then everything changed. And I felt bad. And I felt like I needed to get down on the floor and repent. But the love of the Lord just enveloped me. And He said, "Son, it's all right. I've heard worse." He says, "I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you." You and I, we're going through this together. We're going, and then the Lord emphasized, highlighted it, we're going through. We're going through. I'm not going to leave you here. You're not going to die in this hospital. We're going through. And when you and I come out of this hospital, you're going to be stronger and you're going to have a testimony that people are going to want to hear. And because of that testimony, people are going to want to touch me just like you. So when we're in a situation, when we have an issue, fear not. For I am with thee. I will uphold thee. I will sustain thee. Fear not. So when you're in an issue, He'll go through with you and He'll bring you out on the other side. And through that, through the fact that I contracted cancer, God healed me of cancer in front of doctors. Two doctors, my surgical doctor got saved. The chemotherapist and radiology doctor got saved. And a young lady that was in the radiation room was backslidden and out of church. And I told her, I says, I'm scheduled to preach next Sunday in my church. And she said, that's impossible. If you even attempt to do that, you'll lose your voice forever. Because I was all cut up inside. I mean, I was really messed up. And I said, well, say what you will, but I'm preaching next Sunday. She says, well, I'll tell you one thing. If you're going to preach next Sunday, I'll be there. And she came. She sat right on the front row. And when I preached, when I was done, not because of Jack Ernest, because of the Holy Spirit, loved her so much and knew that she was wayward and healed me just in time to preach that sermon. And she came forward crying. You see, she had an issue. And she made it through the crowd to the altar. And she rededicated her life to Jesus Christ. Every one of us in here, we have stories and we have testimonies. Don't be afraid to share your story. Because it may be your story that helps someone who has an issue to press through to touch the garment. Therefore, receiving healing and deliverance. Let's pray. As always, in this church, the altar's open. We don't need some musicians to play something sweet. We can do without that. But I want you to know that the altar's open. There's people here that will pray for you. We have Dr. Harbuck and Pastor Jerry and myself. We can pray with you. Sister Jan can pray with you and Sister Laverne. But I want you to know the issues that you may have. And you know what the Lord hates? The Lord hates it when we hold on to Him. The Lord doesn't like that. When you've got issues in your life. And listen, you know what? There's nothing that you could have ever done or are in right now that God is shocked about. There's nothing that God hasn't heard or seen. So if you think that you're doing something that's so outrageously sinful that God won't even talk to you about or hug you or receive you, that's the enemy talking to you. My life was probably, like the Apostle Paul said, I'm the worst of the sinners. My life was so bad that people wouldn't even go in the same grocery store that I was in. That's true. If they knew I was in the Kroger store, they'd go to somewhere else. But God. You see, that's one of the greatest scriptures. But God, or but the Lord, shall not maybe deliver us from them all. A-double-L. So if you have issues tonight, bring them to Him. He says, cast your cares upon Me, for I care for you. So whatever it is that's plaguing you, whatever issue you may have, let's bow our heads and pray. And if you want to come and allow us to agree with you in prayer to overcome your issue, whatever it is, we'll do that, more than willing to do that. And the Lord will meet you there. Let's pray. Father, we come before You because we have issues. All of us, we have issues. But You are the issue solver. You're the one who shed Your blood on a cross, that Your flow of blood would be able to cleanse us from our sins and our issues. We love You, Lord. And we thank you. If there's anybody here and you want to come for prayer, just stand up and come forward. Just come forward. We're family. If you're my brother or my sister, I would do the same with my immediate family. If I knew one of them had a problem or an issue, I would want to help them. I would want to comfort them and help to see them have a way out of the issue. We thank you once again, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that your love is so great for us that our issues can be resolved in you and through you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, once again for allowing me the privilege to bring forth your word. In Jesus' name, amen.